today.
Reform getting a little bit closer. I'm surprised, but after that compromise a couple of days ago, anything is possible. New reports that Tiger Woods might just hang up the golf clubs and quit. I don't think so. I think he's all about records. In and out of the bedroom, maybe, but I think he'll stay on the links if you care about such stuff. I think at this point now people are kind of tired of the whole Woods deal, the circus that's surrounding it. It's been over 2 weeks. Oh, Barack Obama, our president, he accepted the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, he was nominated back in February. And then I think some people were surprised. Obviously, when they made the announcement in Oslo, there were some boos and there was some applause. It was kind of a mixed bag for him just at the announcement stage. Many people in the United States are proud of Barack Obama. They think he does represent change and don't understand the criticism. The others are shaking their heads and wondering what is the Nobel Peace Prize all about if they're giving it to Barack Obama at this point. Regardless, he was in his tux and he accepted the prize. And here's a little snippet of what he had to say.
First of all, I would like to thank the committee once again for the extraordinary confidence that they placed in me and this great honor that I received tonight. As I indicated before, no one was more surprised than me. And I have to say that when the chairman spoke introducing me, I told him afterwards that I thought it was an excellent speech and that I was almost convinced that I deserved it. I also wanted to pick up on a theme in both our speeches, and that is the extraordinary power that this prize has in lifting up those who otherwise would be forgotten, in magnifying the cause of justice when it's confronting great resistance.
All right, so that's a little bit of that. We'll get deeper into some of the things that he said, but really part of the speech and what a lot of people are talking about at this point, if you were to have a takeaway from the things that he said, other than he was attempting, obviously, there, and he did it well, to use humor, knowing that there are a lot of people that don't think that he should have gotten the Nobel Peace Prize. In fact, as he said, he himself was quite surprised by that. But part of the speech included a little bit about Afghanistan in a way, because you're treading in weird territory when you're a wartime president, and the words Nobel Peace Prize don't seem to fit with that. So he did go on somewhat to address the idea of war, and he's in the middle of this peace effort, and actually I think as much as they worked on that speech, he did it quite well. Interesting on Afghanistan, you know, talking about the troop drawdown, because that in the last week and a half has been the thorniest thing I think that the president has had to deal with, and a lot of the minions in the White House have been off on the Sunday shows trying to address it. The last weekend we heard that, well, really it's a flexible date. It's really not, they didn't say it's not July 2011, but kind of stepped away from that. So now the president himself from Oslo said that the withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan, set to start in 19 months, will be gradual, and that, of course, United States aid will last 4 years. I'm just trying to weigh this. Karzai wants at least 15. Is it a number somewhere in between? The specific quote, what he told reporters that were there, because they were traveling as along with him as he got the prize, he says, we're not going to see some sharp cliff, some drawdown, some dramatic drawdown. But he is sticking to the plan to start that in 2011. So that means training the security forces and developing the economy for some time to come afterwards. That was the other part of what Obama had to say. And as we all know, at this point now, it's 30,000 more troops. And there are a lot of people that were opposed to any of the buildup. And now we're talking about a transition, then we're talking about a transfer, and then we're talking about getting out of Afghanistan. Moving along from Oslo to things a little bit closer to home that we're going to be talking about on this show. First of all, make sure that you're careful with those pipes and you have your heat up high enough, because I know many of you probably listening right now are dealing with some pretty darn freezing temperatures. The wind chill factor in the Midwest and some parts near and wide, pretty crazy. A deep freeze is definitely starting to set in, and there's, believe it or not, more snow on the radar. And speaking of being on the radar, now there's a new report that the Blackwater Guards are tied to the CIA raids. Now, Eric Prince was a guy who started Blackwater, who says he was flat out thrown under the bus when it was convenient. So he's making the case that, look, I'm doing everything that they wanted me to do, basically, or hired me to do. And now, because it didn't look, it doesn't look good because of the collateral damage, there's a big distance between myself and the truth. So who do you believe? I have some inside information on that. And also the Pentagon in contempt in a Gitmo case. Boy, that's the gift that just keeps giving, isn't it? Guantanamo is supposed to be closed in January 22nd, I think was the official date they were talking about, they being the White House, the new administration. That we know that's not going to happen now. Certainly we know about the handful, the five, the most notorious, and of course directly with links to 9/11, the attacks in New York are going to be tried in New York City. But in the meantime, a federal judge ruled the Defense Department in contempt of court for failing to videotape the testimony of a Guantanamo Bay detainee so that the news media could see it, and, you know, basically the public. The U.S. District Judge is demanding an explanation of why the Pentagon failed to do the taping as they were instructed to do. And what happened was the detainee was this Mohammed al-Adahi. He testified at the end of June in a challenge to his indefinite detention at the prison. And, of course, skipping across a couple of steps, they're appealing, his lawyer's appealing what's going on there. And the judge said she wanted the testimony with the videotape, so as much of it could be released to the news media. Because remember, this was the guy who testified that he went to Al-Qaeda's training camp for 7 to 10 days out of curiosity and was expelled for disobeying the rules. He even acknowledged that he met Osama bin Laden a couple of times and said that his relatives were probably bodyguards and big-time followers of bin Laden. But he wasn't. He is contending that he was booted out and he wasn't really part of the gang. So, interesting. We'll see what the Pentagon shoots back on that one. Coming up on the flip side, more odds and ends. Hang with us here on ATN.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit purebulk.com. That's purebulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Are you tired of out-of-control, irresponsible federal deficit spending? Increasing the money supply without increasing productive output leads to inflation. You get less for your money. If you want to protect the buying power of dollars for your future, then call Peter May at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 135. You've worked hard for your dollars. Don't let the government strip their buying power with wasteful spending. Gold has a 5,000-year track record as money, real money you can count on. No government-backed paper currency comes close. Ask me about the protection of private gold. Call Peter May at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 135. Central banks from around the world are stockpiling gold. They know gold is real money. Call Peter May at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 135, to discover the advantages of private protected gold.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
I like to see you look right across the floor. I like to do the thing, see you call a bumbo. I like to reggae, but you dance bad for me. I like to make my food.
More details of the climate bill have been unfolding. I'll give you some of those juicy details. You know, is it a trick or is it true? That's the bottom line. You either think that we have global warming or you don't believe in global warming. There's sort of no gray area in this one. And still, the stolen emails have really juiced up people who completely don't believe that there's global warming. And I think a lot of information has been, frankly, manipulated and exaggerated. And I did it on my own. I went and talked to scientists. You know, we did this about a year ago and 2 years before that, where we talked to scientists who, let's just call it, were on both sides of this issue. And there's a convincing argument that a lot of the information is jacked up. A lot of the information does not, the numbers don't add up. They don't make sense. And so that's my problem with using the overall word global warming. And I've said this before. Are there things that you can do to, quote, help the environment? Of course. I mean, can you recycle even at the most basic level? Can you change out some light bulbs, which would probably help with your bill anyway? Yeah, absolutely. Can you put a windmill in your backyard? No, not unless you have a ton of money, right? I mean, that's the other part of this. Sell me, sell me, sell me, baby. And then, speaking of selling, when you go to sell your house, if we have these strict, ridiculous regulations, you're going to be stuck anyway because you're going to have these massive upgrades depending on what the laws at that point read. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to sell your house. So we're all going to be stuck with whatever the future holds as far as any kind of a climate bill. Just on these shores, forget about cooperation internationally when we're talking about emission standards and whatnot, but it's if you drop it down to another level, it will affect you. Even if you think it doesn't today, who cares, that's 10 years down the line. Watch out, because how long do you plan to be in your house, for example, I think is the great thing to point out. Also, as we mentioned right at the top, Obama accepting his big peace prize in Oslo, taking some time to talk to reporters about Afghanistan, and reassuring everybody that, yes, there is going to be a drawdown date, but okay, let me add this. We're going to stay around and train the troops and certainly train the security forces there. So it's kind of confusing, a little bit of a mixed message in a way. How many troops does that mean? How many people are there training the security forces, and how many are training the military forces? Because that's going to take a time. According to Hamid Karzai, he says 15 years. And as far as just the military and then the funding, etc., they're talking there at least 6 or 7. So there's some serious wiggle room here, and that's, I think, exactly what's going on. It's more of the politics, more of the same thing. As I mentioned, when Obama accepted the peace prize, the sticky thing was going to be, how do you step around the military actions that are happening right now? You know, Afghanistan, because really there was the withdrawal in Iraq, but it would really fall on the shoulders mostly of Afghanistan. So he talked about the defense of war and 11 months being into his presidency. And he said, you know, I face the world as it is and can't stand idle in the threats to the American people. For make no mistake, evil does exist in the world. And that was pretty much that reference to Afghanistan, which was smart to weave it in that way, not to hit them over the head with it. Also, and we're going to play some more snippets of the speech, too, by the way. He went into a launch of the history of it and talked about some previous Nobel Prize winners and preachers of nonviolence and, you know, all that kind of thing. Pretty much, like I said, what you would have expected would have happened, certainly, with Obama. All right, in the meantime, I mentioned Blackwater, and this is one of those things when we talk about Blackwater, because we've had Robert Liparillo on, who did extensive research into privatized armies for books that he was working on. And, you know, specifically, he found out, I think, more than he could imagine about Eric Prince and some of the things that happened with Blackwater. And, you know, truly my belief is, as we move along here and there are other things that bubble up in other parts of the world, you bet that the idea is to reach out to a privatized army, because think of what you save when you're talking about a voluntary military. But the problem was that things with Blackwater went awry, not something the CIA was counting on. So private security guards from what was then called Blackwater did participate, they say, in some of the CIA's most sensitive activities. What would a sensitive activity be? Let's stretch our minds. How about raids, clandestine raids, with CIA folks against people suspected of being insurgents in Iraq and Afghanistan? And then let's throw in moving the detainees, transporting them, basically, right? Now, this is what one or two of the former employees are saying, and intelligence folks are saying, too. What happened was the raids happened on almost a nightly basis, and this was during that height of the insurgency, remember, between 2004 and 2006. And, of course, Blackwater was huge then. I mean, huge for what they did. They were holding a lot of the cards on the table. They played major roles in the snatch and grabs, and that was to show the people, to make an example of what was happening there, and to get some of these bad guys, let's put it in the most base terms, out of the way. So now you've got these guards saying that their involvement became just so routine that the lines that were supposed to divide the CIA, the military, and Blackwater really were just all in one. It was just blurred. They were just doing the job, and that was it. People just showed up, and they did it, and that's it. So they weren't just providing security for CIA officers, because that would be what they would supposedly be doing. That's what they were supposed to do, in other words. Blackwater at times became partners in missions to kill militants, like I said, in Iraq or Afghanistan. And now they're talking about the practice that I think is still, or would have been without the problems, the wave of the future. And also, it raises now more questions than ever about the use of privatized armies on the battlefield. But you have to realize this. If you go by the old quote from Harry Truman, the war is hell deal, there's no question that that's exactly what it is. Nobody wants to know the dirty little evil details. So the CIA or our government was perfectly willing to turn a blind eye and let Blackwater do what it was doing until a raid went bad, until some people were killed. Then the tables turned once the reports started to come out. Until that time, though, they helped, you know, Blackwater was part of the Holy Trinity. They helped with security on CIA flights and when they were moving people after the 2001 terror attacks on our soil, right? So there was a bigger relationship between the private security company and our spy agency than people are acknowledging in this whole deal. And, of course, we're not surprised by that. Like I said, that's what we have been hearing for a while now. It's just that it's becoming more public. So it's obviously, for Blackwater, it was incredibly profitable. And it became even more necessary as to what was happening when the violence was kicked up a notch in Iraq. So it seems as though, from outside eyes, there isn't a question that they became an extension of the CIA. It's a great question of fair or foul. As an American, how do you feel about privatized armies and guns for hire? Like I said, in this case, the government was perfectly willing. Ooh, you're our friends. You saved our rear ends. You got us covered. You got the perimeters down. Now you're helping us move, guys. This is great. Until something went wrong. Until something went wrong. And when you have the privatized armies, I think the bottom line, especially in the short term, when you have to get in and get out, you have to have that flexibility. And frankly, I don't think they have enough people. That's why we started to see that there were contracts like this one in the first place. In a brutal area like Iraq and some of those hot zones, or those green zones is what they call it, where you never knew when you were stepping around a corner what was going to happen. All right, what do you think? Should Blackwater be nailed to the cross, so to speak, for all the bad things they did? Or should the government take some responsibility? We'll talk about it next.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Would you like some of Uncle Sam's money back? You may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM stimulus. That's right. If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, this message is vitally important. Please listen. Uncle Sam has authorized a government-backed program through the FHA called HECM or HECM. It is authorized under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. Senior homeowners 62 or older can apply for this increased stimulus program for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Right now, seniors are taking advantage of this program's benefits using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, or make home repairs. But the money is yours to use as you wish. To learn more and see how much HECA money you could qualify for, go to rmapply.com. The application is free. Visit rmapply.com or call for a no-obligation evaluation at 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
When the electricity goes out, how will you boil water, cook dinner, light your home, or get news reports? Most families are not prepared for even the shortest power outage due to hurricanes, tornadoes, ice storms, and so on. But you can prepare your family for emergencies and not spend a lot doing it with the amazing products from Carol Stove. CarolStove.com is a family preparedness website that has everything you will need in the event of emergency at big discounts. Kerosene stoves, lanterns, emergency radios, water filters, LED flashlights, and even an oven for baking. CarolStove.com is the largest selection of kerosene stoves on the internet. They've even put together two family emergency kits at big discounts that include everything you'll need for the next extended blackout. With carolstove.com's family emergency kits, you'll be able to cook, bake, light your home, make safe drinking water, and hear the news. And you'll be surprised how little you'll spend on Carol Stove's incredible products. For example, our most popular single burner stove starts at only $58. See our complete line of quality stoves and ovens at carolstove.com. That's K-E-R-O-Stove.com. Keep cooking with carolstove.com.
That says 44% of Americans want Bush back over Obama. I'll give you the skinny on that in a second. But in the meantime, controversial things coming out of Oslo. Let's see, because it's like wall-to-wall meetings. Proclamations by China and Canada that you should just have one child, just say one, because of the population boom or a worry over global warming. It's not feasible to have more than one child. So Canada's national newspaper, specifically, they're touting this, too, for worldwide one-child policy. Wow, can you imagine? Now, in China, you already know that that's pretty much what the deal is. Because when they've been ravaged by earthquakes, that's what's so devastating to the people. I mean, of course, the loss of a child is devastating anyway. But the fact that there is no other child, because they're only supposed to have one child. So they've already got that going on in China. And now in Canada, like I said, with the newspaper touting that and some other government types trying to push for the same thing, it makes you wonder. I mean, do you really want, hopefully in the United States, they wouldn't even dare think of that. Because whether you believe that, okay, you know, we shouldn't have too many kids, or there's the family down the street that had 10 kids or whatever. Do you really want your government telling you, just like they do in China, this is the difference because we have freedom, how many kids you should have? Do you want them regulating your, your reproduction life? And the answer to that is no, of course not. But they're talking about a planetary law. Making it planetary. So is the one way to reverse the global birth rate currently, which is 1 million bursts every 4 days. So, and linking it to this, if you look at the world's other species, like vegetation, oceans, water supplies, atmosphere, all that stuff, the thought is that they're being destroyed and pushed out of existence because of the soaring reproduction rate. But here's the weird thing. China, with its dirty coal plants, is pushing this, is leading in terms of the policy to combat environmental degradation, if you want to call it that, because of the one-child-only edict that they have. So now people who would like this idea of this planetary one-child-per-family deal, they're pointing to what's happening in China. So let me just give you some numbers. To me, it's just, to me, it's just mind blowing because I don't think you want to even go in that direction. Wait, I hope nobody proposes this in Congress, but if only one child per woman was born as of now, per female, the world's population would drop from 6.5 billion to 5.5 billion by 2050. This is stuff that the Vienna Institute put together. Scientific information they put together. Now, if you even go a little further than that, 2075, there'd be 3.43 billion humans on the planet. And so what the scientists are saying is it would have positive effects on the world's forests, species, the oceans, atmospheric, standards, and, of course, living standards as well. If you don't do anything, if there isn't a planetary one-child-only rule, that would result in, supposedly, an unsustainable population of 9 billion by 2050. 9 billion by 2050. I just have to say this. I'll say this to Matt Johnson, too, as he hasn't hit 30 yet. Matt, you better hurry up and find Mrs. Johnson and start reproducing before the planetary one vision hits the United States and suddenly we have massive agreement around the world that this is a law that everybody has to abide by. Can you imagine, Matt, that you and I mean, I'll throw myself in that as somebody who hopes to have children. Can you imagine that we would just have this hanging over our head, though? It's one kid and that's it. One and done.
Yeah, I don't know if I like the sound of that because you got that whole boy-girl issue where, you want, preferably I think everyone would like, a boy and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And if you only have one child, then you're kind of shut out. You either, have the girl or you have the boy. And that's what, China, I think, ran into problems where people were almost killing their kids or abandoning them because it wasn't the child that they wanted.
Yeah, and then, like I said, you had the horrible earthquake that happened, and kids were killed in that one school, and the parents, who were distraught anyway over their children, but it's too late. They can't have another child. So in many of the cases, because, one, they were too old, and also because of the birth control thing. So the argument back is, well, if you complain or balk at the notion that the government should control family sizes, the argument is wait till the human population turns as big as most of the pasture in, pasture land into desert. And when the Amazon is gone, they say elephants will disappear for good and wars will start to be fought over water. Because we do know that it's like if you're going to make an investment in something, water, water, water. Because we do know that water is the key, certainly. But I do not believe that there should be any kind of a one-child rule. If that hit the United States, I just can't imagine. I think it's a personal deal as to, especially when you're talking about a family, as to how many children somebody wants to have. And then it goes to the whole thing of adoption. And can you imagine what you would get into there? But more importantly, less government to me is better. Smaller government. I'm of the Tom Jefferson, clan. I would follow along with what Tom Jefferson said way back when. Smaller government. And this would be big brother in your face control. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. But it's one of the key things. It's one of the sidebar things that's being brought up as far as global warming is concerned and part of what's being discussed in Copenhagen. Well, here's what happened in China. Here's what could happen if more countries were able to do the same thing. Imagine what that would, imagine what that would do for our survival, what that would do for crops, etc. All the things that I just mentioned to you. Anybody else worried that could happen? If you've got young children now, like Stu in Kentucky, I mean, who knows by the time his little girl is of dating age and then gets married, can you even fathom that there would be no choice there, that she and her husband would be told one child and that's it, one child and you are done? I don't think so. Something to think about anyway. All right, healthcare reform. I did some checking today on this, in fact, you know, because I have this big clock ticking on are we going to see these changes and what specifically is going to be in the final form of legislation if, in fact, there's this this vote. Now, one of the biggest obstacles has been cleared on healthcare reform, at least Senate-wise. So within the next couple of days, the nonpartisan, because it is nonpartisan, Congressional Budget Office gives its fiscal scoring. Do you love this? It's called a fiscal scoring of the compromise reached on Tuesday between five moderate and five liberal Democratic senators. If the CBO pronounces the package deficit neutral, and that's a pretty big gamble there, but if, let's say, that happens, then you would probably be looking at a way to clear things for a rapid vote in the Senate. Because the House, of course, has already passed its own, you know, over almost 2,000-page bill, and not much would stop it from going to the president's desk within the next couple of weeks if that were to happen. So what I heard is Harry Reid and others who are pushing Max Baucus, etc. I mean, they are just pacing. They are cutting up their office rugs, just walking back and forth, waiting for what the CBO is going to come up with. Because if they get the right, if they get the right pronouncement from them, they really feel like there's going to be the votes there. And Olympia Snow and Susan Collins, you know, might they're throwing in that they might be able to jump in on this. Again, perhaps depending on what the CBO says. So Harry Reid has the ear of two Republicans, and both are senators, of course, for Maine. And maybe they're going to go that road. And if they do, by my mathematical, because I'm such a whiz at it, by my count, that of course was a joke, I think that they would probably have enough if they get the go-ahead from the CBO. Oof, can you imagine? He gets the 60 votes, and then after that, the bill would be merged with the House version, or maybe even bypass that whole thing, and they go for a direct vote in the lower chamber. That could be a possibility. If there was a chance that they were going to have it passed, man, I can't believe it's that close, but it really is. It really, really is that close to passing. And as I said, talking to people in Washington today, just to kind of gauge the temperature of it all, it is looking a lot better than it was a couple of weeks ago. And it's so odd because it was Harry Reid himself that said 3 weeks ago, I can remember saying it here on America Tonight, that there wasn't going to be enough time for the final vote, the official vote, by the time they had all had a chance to go through it and have their say on the Senate floor, that it wouldn't happen in that time frame. You'd have to wait till after the break. But now it looks like they put the pedal to the metal with the compromise, and it just might happen. Coming up next, a reminder about Nail the Score in our third hour and why you should care. Hang with us.
Ho, ho, ho! The Christmas elves at Peppermint Jim's workshop have been busy whipping up holiday gift baskets jam-packed with their top-selling peppermint products. Log on to GetMint.com and choose from a variety of gorgeous, bright red holiday boxes bursting with all your minty favorites. Choose from the Holiday Double Mint Gift Basket or the Holiday Favorite, or go all out with a deluxe holiday essential oil basket. No matter what you choose, you can't go wrong with these terrific all-natural Christmas gifts. Your friends and family will love them. And while you're picking up your gift baskets at GetMint.com, be sure to grab a few stocking stuffers, too. From bath salts to candles to pure mint oil, mint freshens the air, perks up your senses, and has terrific health benefits. To order, call 1-800-345-9068 or visit GetMint.com. And for a limited time, they're offering free shipping for orders over $100. So add some sparkle to your holidays and give the gift of mint at GetMint.com.
If you have more than $25,000 in debt and are facing foreclosure, we can stop the foreclosure in one day and get you out of debt in 90 days without making a single payment. Did you know that debt settlement is illegal in at least 7 states and that if you hire an attorney to help you get out of debt, you'll pay 7 to 10 times more than legally necessary? The system is rigged. These guys get kickbacks from your creditors while charging you up front to get into nothing more than just another payment plan. Look, this isn't brain surgery. You just need the right information and the right help and answers to your questions. No clients of zero debt in 90 days have had to negotiate with creditors or go to court. Our proven system stops collection calls in 1 minute. Since 1993, we have helped over 80,000 people get out of debt without making a single payment to creditors. Get the right information today and get out of debt in just 90 days. Ask about our $25,000 guarantee and your free copy of 7 Secrets to Debt Freedom when you call 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com today.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a chariot.
I remember it was David Letterman who said once that the USA Today has come out with a new survey. Apparently, 3 out of every 4 people make up 75% of the population. You know, and it's like I say with these polls, you have to take a lot of it with a grain of salt, of course, because, you know, how much is the representation? Now, you talk to pollsters, and they'll tell you, absolutely, I mean, it's dead on. That's certainly a great representation because of the way that the polls are done and the cross-sections and, you know, scientifically how it's proven out. Otherwise, nobody would pay attention to any of them, especially the political ones, if they didn't hold water. But this last one that I happened to come across, I thought was interesting. They say the biggest measure of Obama's declining support is that just 50% of voters now say they prefer having him as president to George W. Bush. 44% saying they'd rather have his predecessor. Wow. And that does say something, doesn't it? So you look at the closeness in the Obama-Bush numbers, and it definitely speaks to some implications for the 2010 elections. So Democrats, is on the heels of health care reform, and if that becomes enacted, and also with what's happened with the Obama administration, it could be dicey for the House, and that's just next year, because that's the whole thing, is riding on the coattails of the president. So I'm surprised at how close those numbers are and the reality of that. Now, the thing that I guess I would look at is under Bush, the unemployment rate never got, I checked this today, it never got higher than 6.3% until the very last month that he was president. And the deficits, of course, are higher, but they've gone up for the last couple of presidencies. So the public speaking thing is where Obama has been able to reel a lot of people in. But where are we affected? It's always with the economy. It's always with what's in front of us, because you have to feed your family. You have to be able to survive. And hopefully some people are able to even thrive out there, dare I say it. But that's the situation we're now finding ourselves in, where the economy has been so brutal, it's hit everyone. I mean, even the top dogs that had serious bucks, okay, they still might have serious bucks, so I'm not crying any tears for them, right? But they're taking it down a notch. And then the middle class getting squeezed on both ends. So when we talk about, you know, what's going to happen with if there's climate control, and how does that affect us, and what are the taxes going to be, and what's the energy bill going to be, it just seems like recently, and I'm not trying to go down this negative road, but it seems recently, in the past 3 or 4 months especially, here on the airwaves, every time I check with someone in Washington, or we have somebody on, whether it's about jobs that are lost overseas, or whether it's about climate legislation, or whatever it is, we always keep coming back to, it's going to cost us more money. And I keep thinking, I don't know about you, do you check your bank account, you do that online thing, you start looking at it and think, well, what if I've got to pay a 1% surcharge for the war in Afghanistan? What if I have to pay $200 more for the energy, on top of what I'm already paying, for the energy for the house? What if I have to pay more for my health care premiums? And, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, this is the problem. And if people don't have jobs, I mean, forget about the whole wages going up thing, because a lot of people aren't getting what they would normally get, their increases. I mean, Social Security is not even, is keeping everything frozen. They're not even going to have the standard increases that they would have. So people who rely on Social Security while everything else is going up around them, they're not getting the standard increases. It does keep coming back to the almighty dollar. So I'm not surprised in one sense by the Bush/Obama comparison of, you know, who would you rather be president at this point, because we keep going back to the same thing. It's the money trail that's just killing so many people. All right, we're going to zig and zag a little bit here on you, because there's a lot to squeeze in that I think is worth water cooler buzz, including this big story. The ACLU lost a $19 million donor. And you know how I feel about the ACLU, because I can list a mile long some ridiculous cases that they stuck their nose into that really was outrageous to me. And I think, if anything, they didn't need to be fighting that fight. So they lost a quarter of their yearly donations. A donor cut off the money I just mentioned because of the economy. So as I was saying, even the wealthy people are feeling it. And this guy is a man named David Gelbaum, and he's a California conservationist. And he said he was indefinitely stopping the donations that he had made for a very long time, almost anonymously, really, from the beginning, because his investments, he's been in a situation that where he's not able to do that anymore as a result of the credit crisis in the United States and the world financial systems. And, you know, here's your example. He also said that he was stopping $12 million in monies that he gave to the Sierra Club, you know, that they're just sweating this out. And about, check this out, he must have had serious money, about $50 million a year, $50 million a year that he's been giving to an organization, this is sad, serving veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. So check this out. Gelbaum gave a total of $389 million to those groups I mentioned from 2005 to 2009, and he specifically pointed to the fact that he wasn't as liquid. But this is what's interesting. At the end of this, because that's a lot of money, he says he hopes that somebody else will step forward, other people will step forward, and replace his donations. And he was well known among the people in those circles because they knew, you know, he was writing the checks. But really, he funded everything that I mentioned. He funded them anonymously. So, clearly, he's not anonymous now. But I think he wanted to come forward because he wants to make it known that, you know, hey, there's going to be a shortfall here. So I hope somebody can pick it up. I feel badly for the veterans that will suffer because that $50 million is a chunk of change. I mean, really, ACLU, sorry, I could care less. But for the vets, that's big. And to make up that money is going to be tough. And you know what's interesting? Because we've had this lingering recession, only 20% of Americans are actually going to reduce giving what they normally do during the holiday season. That's pretty good. The American Red Cross did a poll, and it showed that about 70% of the people say it's more important to donate this year because of the state of the economy. Isn't that great? Every time you think there's not enough nice people in the world or here in America, you just got to think of this when you hear these things. So the survey showed that about 90% of Americans plan to keep doing it, to keep donating, to donate at least 50 to a charity, and 25% giving more than 100, just doing whatever they could. Because donations to charitable causes in the United States, up to $307 billion in 2008, but that's a 2% drop from 2007, and that drop, while it sounds like, just 2%, it's a lot when you're talking about people that rely on those monies that are coming in, you know, what they're able to give to the people who desperately need it, and that's great. That's great that people are, you know, hey, a dollar is a dollar is a dollar. If you're throwing it in the jar or doing whatever, at least and you know the organization's good, at least it's getting funneled somewhere, right? All right, if you have any thoughts on Obama and his speech for the Nobel Peace Prize or any of that kind of stuff, make sure you flip me an email, americatonight.net. And don't forget, in our third hour, Nail the Score. Everybody who calls is eligible for our Dave Pell's Big Golf School giveaway. One lucky winner. Valued at like $600. Work on that short game or give it to your father-in-law or the kid next door. I don't know, but it's probably one of the best prizes I've ever given away on the air. So make sure you call in third hour for Nail the Score.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time.